Deion Sanders. And so he had his first meeting, a 7-minute sermon that he gave to the Colorado Buffaloes. And Deion was very direct and basically told the team that they should get, told a lot of them that they should get ready to find new teams. Take the transfer portal out of town, all right? He told the rest of them, he said, those that stay, I'm going to try to make you quit. And it's, Matt, you're right. It's probably the same message that any other coach would deliver to a team that went 1-11, to Colorado that's had only two winning seasons since 2005, Matt. This is Colorado we're talking
just
about.
Just amazing, yeah.
And 1-11 last year, and so it's a coach coming in vowing to overhaul the program, but Deion did it as only he can do it, and he's videotaping everything, putting it out there for the whole world to see, because like I said, it's a recruiting tool. He wants to tell the whole nation that, look, we need you. I'm running these guys off, and we want you here. And he said, I want the ones, basically he's telling the players there, I want the ones that don't want to quit, you know, that want to be here, that want to work, who want to win, you know. But he goes, I don't want to get into the game and then find out that I got a Jane when all the offseason I had Tarzan. He said, he laid down the law. He said, no earrings, no hats, no hoodies in the meetings. And he just kept saying, I'm coming. And when I get here, you know, it's going to be change. And he just kept repeating that. He talked about exposure, and he said the goal is to increase the exposure for the whole program. And he said, we know how to do social media. He had his son on the camera, Bucky on the camera. And he turns to Bucky at one point and says, what's the best way to increase your following? And he said, just post. Post on social media, you know. But he says, I'm going to make you all the most famous people walking on the planet, but you got to win. But his goal was to run about half the guys off, right? Because he knows that the more players, you know, he can run on, that's the more room he's going to have. Like he said, go ahead and jump into the portal, do whatever you got to do, because the more of you that jump in, the more room that you make here. And so it was a message, an invitation to hundreds of players all over the country that they're open for business, he's definitely going to make good use of the transfer portal. He even told them, he said, yep, talking about the fact that his son, Shadur, was a quarterback at Jackson State, that he's coming to Colorado. He said, yep, and about 10 more of them are coming. And he goes, and they dogs, they going to hunt. And they're going to eat. He goes, we have a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis, talking about Louis Vuitton, the luxury brand of luggage. These players are looking at him like, you know, who is this guy? But, Matt, like you said, that's what he has to do, is he has to shake things up and change things from the way they've been, which was 1-11 last year. And so it was a pretty tense meeting at times. And he kept saying, I'm coming, meaning that he was going to turn in and turn this program around. He goes, there's not going to be any more mediocrity, period, he told him. So it's going to be interesting to follow, and I think we're going to be able to follow it because he's going to put it all on camera, Matt.
Yeah, without a doubt, and like you said, Craig, it's not – his message was maybe 10% to the current players there and 90% to people outside the building, right? I mean, the fact that he was saying, you know, you guys need to get in the portal and you know, I'm going to try to make you quit and all those things. Okay, yeah, that's somewhat of a message to some of the guys there, but that's more so a message to, hey, we're going to have a lot of open spots if you want to come to see you. I'm still stubborn, Craig. I still think Colorado can be a player on the national scene. Maybe I'm just nostalgic for 30 years ago when Bill McCartney had all those great teams and so forth. But I don't know. I still think there can be an appeal around Colorado. And, you know, we've talked a lot with Pat, Craig. I don't know how much we use the term fit all the time. I don't know how much necessarily of a fit he is at Colorado, but Colorado, I almost think their program, Craig, was at a point where they had to do something like this. They had to do something different. They had to go out and do some, you know, find somebody that's going to shake it up and bring publicity to the program. And so I don't blame him at all.
The dice.
No, yeah. Heck no. I'm glad he's getting a chance. I want to see what he can do.
And he's telling the player, he goes, some of y'all are salvageable. He goes, but I'm not going to lie, everyone that set their butt in a seat ain't going to have a seat when we get back. But I'm coming, you know. And he said, I started, and we're going to dominate, and we're going to go to work. And so he said a lot of the things that maybe you expect him to say, like Dan Wolken was saying, it may be jarring for people to hear a coach so blatantly tell a group of college athletes that they should probably start looking at their options. But that's the way it is. I mean, that and it's been that way for years, right, Matt? I mean, that this is big boy football and so forth. But like you said, now they're playing under new rules. And they used to have to sit out a year under the old NCAA rules if they transfer, right? But and also under the old rules, you know, he says, you know, you could risk future scholarship losses and even postseason bans, you know, if you push players, you know, too many players out the door.
It's a new world.
That's
now.
All out the window. Yeah.
That might as well be 100 years ago now.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
And, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, the future of college athletics, and who knows, 5 years from now, we may be down to two super conferences for all we know. But he's about to be in a league where USC and UCLA aren't going to be around anymore. Now, that league still had a lot of really good teams at the top, with Utah, who just won the conference. Oregon was really good this year. Washington was really good this year. But they're about to lose USC and UCLA, two of the better teams this year, and historically, certainly USC, it's a no contest, has been historically the best program in that conference. UCLA has been up there as far as historically. So, you know, you're about to lose in that league the two Los Angeles schools. You know, there's opportunity there for another school. There's opportunity there for schools to make a move up. You know,
yeah.
So I think that I think there's some appeal there, you know, that, you know, the big Bubba of that conference is about to leave.
And he says, it's all going to be on camera. He says, I want you to get ready, start seeing cameras, because we film documentaries. this is going to be fun, Matt, with Coach Prime.
Well, I'm happy for him.
And listen, he went 12-0 at Jackson State this year, you know. So, you know, we can laugh about it and so forth. Like Pat told us last week, there's a lot more substance to Coach Prime than people realize.
I totally agree. Without a doubt, there is. Yes. And again, for people that didn't hear him, and Pat'll, I'm sure, have a lot more to say when he comes back tomorrow. But you know, Pat has talked to people who have been down there and have been inside the program, who have watched how they work, watched how they do things, and you know, this is not some fly by night operation. I mean, they were just 12-0. You don't go undefeated without doing things the right way. And I'll also say this: I've seen, and Deion's right, they put just about everything on video. You know, Deion is big on, you know, educating these guys. He's brought people in to talk to the team about, you know, different life lessons and things. I mean, I saw a video where he brought in a, was it like an Instagram model or somebody, a very attractive young lady. And the message was, guys, you better watch yourself. And people can interpret that how you will. The point is Deion, you know, he wants to do things the right way. Believe me, I've seen a lot of the videos they're putting out on, you know, the way that he talks to his team and you know, like, what was the deal, Craig, after the shooting in Houston, where I think they had a game over there that next week, and he said, "Fellas, we're not going out. You guys are not leaving the hotel. I don't want you out running around. trying to do things you don't need to be doing. So I'm a fan, and I'm a big believer.
He's seen the downside. There is a lot of flash and so forth, but he's also seen the downside of fame and so forth, and that's,
you better believe it,
goes to what you're saying, bringing in the Instagram model and so forth, and yeah. It can be a big plus to get your name out there and so forth, but there's also a downside to it and a part of it.
It's all about
avoided,
how you handle it.
Right?
It's all about, and that's what kind of, I don't mean to go all philosophical, but that's kind of what life is all about. How do you handle, your circumstances?
And he talked about the facilities there. He even suggested a lot of them were spoiled, saying, hey, this Boulder's a beautiful city, beautiful stadium, no crime. He compared it to Jackson State, where his players had us. And he goes, we never had nothing of this sort to work out in, to train in. He's telling the Colorado players. He says our kids would go absolutely crazy to be in a situation that you're in. But you don't respect it, He goes, I'm coming. You don't want it. I'm coming. Some of y'all don't even think you deserve it, but I'm coming. And usually when God sends me to a place, he sent me to a place to be a conduit of change, and I'm coming. So he is on his way, and like you said, Matt, I don't blame Rick George, the AD at Colorado, for rolling the dice and bringing in Deion Sanders there. Other coaching moves, and we might have touched on this yesterday, but the University of Cincinnati has found their next head coach. It's going to be Louisville's Scott Satterfield, all right, to replace Luke Fickell. But the interesting thing there is that Cincinnati is scheduled to face Louisville in the bowl game at Fenway Park in Boston. Any thoughts on that one? Satterfield?
I think he's done a good job there, but I don't know much about him, just to be perfectly honest.
To Cincinnati?
Right. He's got big shoes to fill, I'll say that,
yeah.
Because Fickell did one heck of a job up there.
Yeah. But college, Uwe Ungalale is entering the portal. Like you said, Anthony Richardson is turning pro, started all 12 games for the Florida Gators. Other big news, Smith and Jigba. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to miss the Ohio State playoff game.
Yeah, saw that.
He's getting ready for the draft also. And Graham Mertz, that was another one, another quarterback that's going to transfer.
Now he's leaving Wisconsin. Smith and Jigba, he's been dealing with an injury. It's not like he's just opting out of the
playoff
game.
Hamstring injury, missed most of the season.
Yes,
right. So it's not like they're missing, a key piece that has been there all season. But obviously what he did last year, Matt, he was
– he's a fantastic
talent.
Not
only one of the top receivers on their team, one of the guys in the country. This guy was incredible, what he did for them a year ago.
No, that's right. I just want to make sure we get it out there. It's not like he is choosing – healthy to opt out of the playoff game. He's been dealing with an injury for
Dealing with the hamstring, but there was the thought that with that much time that they, you had him back, seriously, I think that he could be a big help for them. And to, I'm not a doctor.
Yes.
I don't know what he's feeling.
Right.
It just seems to me like he would be healthy enough to play in that game. I don't know, but he's not going to, and he's going to, go ahead and get ready for the draft, which, listen, I'm not saying I blame him, Matt. He's got to look out for his best interest and so forth. This guy, he led Ohio State last year with over 1,600 yards receiving and 9 touchdowns, was supposed to be one of the top guys in the country this year, and then hurt the hamstring in their win over Notre Dame early in the season, ended up with only 5 catches for 43 yards for the whole season, Matt. Smith and Jigba.
He's a terrific talent, without a doubt.
But
he would be a big help.
Boy, if he was, he would be a big help to them in a bowl game. You put him in there, and I would definitely, if they had him, I'd give him a shot anyway. This team, like you said, Matt, they weren't just beating people; they were rolling people this year. Ohio State was. But they're not going to have Smith and Jigba. So as a college football fan, I hate that. I would love to see, the difference that he can make in that team against the number one team in the country, Georgia. But we're not going to see that. But I totally get it. I totally understand that his priority has to be for his career, and that's to get ready for the NFL draft. Thunder were in action last night. SGA scores 35 points. And the Thunder come from 14 points down in the third quarter come back and win that one in Atlanta last night, 121 to 114. Josh Giddey had 12 out of his 17 points in the fourth quarter of that game. And the Thunder get a big win. Trae Young did play for the Hawks last night. A lot going on there between Trae Young, Nate McMillan in Atlanta in recent days. He missed the game on Friday night. Nate McMillan, though, said he made it very clear that he would never tell a player to stay home from a game. So he definitely denied the fact that he told Trae Young to stay home. Anyway, the Hawks fall to 13-11. Thunder go to 11-13. SGA, like I said, 35 points. He was 15 for 15 from the foul line in that game last night. There were 11 lead changes, 7 ties. One thing people can say about this team, Matt, they are not tanking. At least the players are not tanking.
Well, that's very entertaining as well.
They come from 14 down, score 67 points in the second half of that game.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
I'm sorry, Craig. I was actually at a reflex still answering the phones. Caller, what's your name? Do you want to go on trivia? yes. They're a lot of fun to watch, man. SGA, I mean, he's, what, third in the league in scoring? And what I think he's averaging, is it eight boards and eight? No, that's Doncic. But he's averaging a bunch of assists. I want to say, isn't he like fifth in the league in steals or something like that? SGA's been tremendous for him this year.
No, he had 35 points, 5 assists, 6 rebounds last night. Now, obviously he's the story of the team, but in last night's game, Usman Jang had 15 off the bench.
He was terrific. He was really good last night.
He knocked down 3 threes. Isaiah Joe, he just comes off the bench shooting every game, and he knocked down 3 more threes last night. Thunder, 35% from 3, 12 for 34 last night. Robinson Earl knocked down his only 2 threes last night. Even Josh Giddey went 2 for 4 from 3 and knocked down all 5 of his foul shots last night as the Thunder hit 23 out of 24 from the line last night. So that's a good win. They get the win.
It is.
In Atlanta. So the Thunder now, they're going to be at Memphis coming up tomorrow night. The Hawks going to be at the Knicks coming up tomorrow night. Otherwise,
by the way, real quickly, yep. SGA averaging 31. He's averaging 5 rebounds, 6 assists. But, you know, Craig, I really don't feel like he's taking a ton of bad shots. I mean, it's not like he's putting up 30 shots a game or anything. I mean,
no.
He
doesn't take many bad threes. He only took 3 threes last night. Now, he missed all 3 of them. But
I mean, he's shooting 51% from the floor. Yeah. He's shooting 33% from 3. You'd like to be a little bit better. But he's doing great work from the line. And like I said, if I'm not mistaken, I'll double check this. I want to say he's top 5 or top 10 he's 6th. He is 6th in steals per game. Actually, he is tied for 3rd.
And he had a couple of more steals last night.
Yeah,
also had 6 turnovers. I mean, you don't like to see he had more turnovers than assists. He needs to get the assist number up.
You're right.
Hey, listen, that's being real picky. The guy's having a fantastic season with 35 more last night. Elsewhere around the league, Celtics get their 20th win. They win in Toronto last night. They win at 116 to 110. Jason Tatum, he probably is the front runner for MVP. He went for 31 and 12 last night. 5 more threes for Jason Tatum last night there as the Celtics get that win on the road. Memphis gets a nice win over the Miami Heat. Heat fall to 11 and 13. They've been one of the disappointments so far.
I just want to ask, Craig, we talked about them the other day. At what point do we start to push the panic button on them? Is it still too early? I would think, but
although Memphis wins this one, Memphis wins without Ja Morant, without Desmond Bane, without Jackson.
Right.
I mean, you know, it was like the Memphis second team playing this game against the Miami Heat. The Heat have had their own injury problems, but last night they had Jimmy Butler and Bam and Tyler Hero and Lowry and so forth. you know, haven't had Oladipo. But, I mean, that's, the Heat are a disappointment right now at 11-13. And that was quite a win for the shorthanded Memphis Grizzlies last night, who got 28-10 from Tyus Jones in a starting role last night. Phoenix Suns, they had a chance to get revenge against the Dallas Mavs last night for what the Mavs did to them in the playoffs, and Dallas just hung 130 on them in Dallas last night, which OBJ made an appearance at that game. The Mavs fans were chanting OBJ last night as he went to the game with some Cowboy players. But Luka Doncic, 33 points, 8 assists in that one. For the Mavs, he knocked down 4 threes. Dinwiddie knocked down 5. Tim Hardaway knocked down 5. Dallas knocked down 20 threes, 20 out of 41 from three-point range as the Suns fall to defeat, of course, again, without Chris Paul. But when Devin Booker and Cameron Payne, their backcourt, combined to go 8 for 29 last night, Clippers got a very entertaining victory. They did have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George back last night and got a two-point win on the road in Charlotte. And most entertaining game of the night was Philadelphia at Houston. Went double overtime, but Embiid fouled out, near the end of the first overtime, I think it was. But Embiid went for 39 points, but not enough, and he was not around in the second overtime as Houston got the victory over Philadelphia. 132-123 in double overtime.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.